I'm the king of sun, the old man's head said. Why would a king be talking to a shepherd? The boy asked, awed and embarrassed, for several reasons. But let's say that the most important thing is that you have succeeded in discovering your personal legend. The boy didn't know what a person's personal legend was. It's what you have always wanted to accomplish. Everyone, when they are young, knows what their personal legend is. At that point in their lives, everything is clear and everything is possible. They are not afraid to dream and to yearn for everything they would like to see happen to them in their lives. But as time passes, a mysterious force begins to convince them that it will be impossible for them to realize their personal legend. None of what the old man was saying made much sense to the boy, but he wanted to know what the mysterious force was. The merchant's daughter would be impressed when he told her about that. It's a force that appears to be negative, but actually shows you how to realize your personal legend. It prepares your spirit and your will, because there is one great truth on this planet. Whoever you are, or whatever it is that you can do, when you realize you really want something, is because that desire originated in the soul of the universe. It's your mission on Earth. Even when all you want to do is travel or marry the daughter of a merchant? Yes, or even search for treasure, the soul of the world is nourished by people's happiness and also by unhappiness, envy, and jealousy. To realize one's personal legend is a person's only real obligation. All things are one. And when you want something, all the universe conspires in helping you to achieve it. They were both silent for a time, observing the pleasure and the townspeople. It was an old man who spoke first. Why do you tend a flock of sheep? Because I like to travel. The old man pointed to the baker standing in his shop window at one corner of the plaza. When he was a child, that man wanted to travel too, but he decided first to buy his bakery and put some money aside. When he's an old man, he's going to spend a month in Africa. He never realized that people are capable at any time in their lives of doing what they dream of. He should have decided to become a shepherd. The boy said, well, he thought about that, the old man said, but bakers are more important people than shepherds. Bakers have homes, while shepherds sleep out in the open. Parents would rather see their children marry bakers than shepherds. The boy felt a pang in his heart, thinking about the merchant's daughter. There was surely a baker in her town. The old man continued, in the long run, what people think about shepherds and beggars become more important for them than their own personal legends. The old man lived through the book and fell to reading a page he came to. The boy waited and then interrupted the old man just as he himself had been interrupted. Why are you telling me all this? Because you are trying to realize your personal legend, and you are at the point where you are about to give it all up. And that's when you always appear on the scene? Not always in this way, but I always appear in one form or another. Sometimes I appear in the form of a solution or a good idea. At other times, at a crucial moment, I make it easier for things to happen. There are other things I do too, but most of the time people don't realize I've done for them. The old man related that. The week before, he had been forced to appear before the miner and had taken the form of a stone. The miner had abandoned everything to go mining for emeralds. For 5 years, he had been walking a certain river and had examined hundreds of thousands of stones looking for an emerald. The miner was about to give it all up. Right at the point when, if he were to examine just one more stone, just one more, he would find his emerald. Since the miner had sacrificed everything to his personal legend, the old man decided to become involved. He transformed himself into a stone that rolled up to the miner's feet. The miner, with all the anger and frustrations of his 5 fruitless years, picked up the stone and threw it aside. But he had thrown it with such force that it broke the stone it fell upon. And there, embedded in the broken stone, was the most beautiful emerald in the world. People learn early in their lives what is their reason for being, said the old man, with a certain bitterness. Maybe that's why they give up on it so early, too. But that's the way it is. The boy reminded the old man that he had said something about the hidden treasure. Treasure is uncovered by the force of flowing water, and it is buried by the same currents, said the old man. If you want to learn about your own treasure, you will have to give me 1/10 of your flock. What's about 1/10 of my treasure? The old man looked disappointed. If you start out by promising what you don't have yet, you'll lose your desire to work toward getting it. The boy told him that he had already promised to give 1/10 of his treasure to the Gypsy. Gypsies are expert at getting people to do that, sighed the old man. In any case, it's good that you've learned that everything in life has its price. This is what the warriors of the light try to teach. The old man returned the book to the boy. Tomorrow, at the same time, bring me 1/10 of your flock, and I will tell you how to find the hidden treasure. Good afternoon. And he vanished around the corner of the plaza. The boy began again to read his book, but he was no longer able to concentrate. He was tense and upset because he knew that the old man was right. He went over to the bakery and bought a loaf of bread, thinking about whether or not he should tell the baker what the old man had said before about him. Sometimes it's better to leave things as they are, he thought to himself, and decided to say nothing. If he were to say anything, the baker would spend 3 days thinking about giving it all up. Even though he had gotten used to the way things were, the boy could certainly resist causing that kind of anxiety for the baker. So he began to wander through the city and found himself at the gates. There was a small building there, with a window at which people bought tickets to Africa. And he knew that Egypt was in Africa. Can I help you? Asked the man behind the window. Maybe tomorrow, said the boy, moving away. And he sold just one of his sheep. He'd have enough to get to the other shore of the strait. The idea frightened him. Another dreamer, said the ticket seller to his assistant, watching the boy walk away. He doesn't have enough money to travel. While standing in the ticket window, the boy had remembered his flock and decided he should go back to being a shepherd. In 2 years, he had to learn everything about shepherding. He knew how to shear sheep, how to care for pregnant ewes, and how to protect the sheep from wolves. He knew all the fields and pastures of Andalusia. And he knew that what was the fair price for every one of his animals. He decided to return to his friend's stable by the longest route possible. As he walked past the city's castle, he interrupted his return and climbed the stone ramp and led to the top of the wall. From there, he could see Africa in the distance. Someone had once told him that it was from there that the Moors had come to occupy all of Spain. He could see almost the entire city from where he sat, including the plaza where he had talked with the old man. "Cursed the moment I met the old man," he thought. He had come to the town only to find a woman who could interpret his dream. Neither the woman nor the old man was at all impressed by the fact that he was a shepherd. They were solitary individuals who no longer believed in things and didn't understand that shepherds become a tax to their sheep. He knew everything about each member of his flock. He knew which ones were lame, which one was to give birth 2 months from now, and which were the laziest. He knew how to share them and how to slaughter them. If he ever decided to leave them, they would suffer. The wind began to pick up, and he knew that wind, people call it the Levanter, because on it the Moors had come from the Levant at the eastern end of the Mediterranean. The Levanter increased in intensity. Here I am, between my flock and my treasure, the boy thought. He had to choose between something he had become accustomed to and something he wanted to have. There was also the merchant's daughter, but she wasn't as important as his flock, because she didn't depend on him. Maybe she didn't even remember him. He was sure that it made no difference to her on which day he appeared. For her, every day was the same. And when each day is the same as the next day, it's because people fail to recognize the good things that happen in their lives every day that the sun rises. I left my father, my mother, and the town castle behind. They have gotten used to my being away, and so have I. The sheep will get used to my not being there, too, the boy thought. From where he sat, he could observe the plaza. People continued to come and go from the baker's shop. A young couple sat on the bench where he had talked with the old man, and they kissed. The baker, he said to himself, without completing the thought, the levanter was still getting stronger, and he felt its force on his face. That wind had brought the Moors, yes, but it had also brought the smell of the desert and of wilded women. It had brought with it the sweat and the dreams of men who had once left to shirt for the unknown, for the gold and adventure, and for the pyramids. The boy felt jealous of the freedom of the wind, and saw that he could have the same freedom. There was nothing to hold him back except himself, the shepherd, the ship, the merchant's daughter, and the fields of Andalusia were only steps along the way to his personal legend. The next day, the boy met the old man at noon. He brought 6 sheep with him. "I'm surprised," the boy said. "My friend brought all the other sheep immediately. He said that he had always dreamed of being a shepherd, and that it was a good omen." "That's the way it's always it," says the old man. "It's called the principle of variability. When you play cards the first time, you are almost sure to win. Beginner's luck. Why is that?" "Because there is a force that wants you to realize your personal legend. It whets your appetite with a taste of success." Then the old man began to inspect the ship, and he saw that one was lame. The boy explained that it wasn't important, since that ship was the most intelligent of the flock and produced the most wool. "Where is the treasure?" he asked. "It's in Egypt, near the pyramids." The boy was startled. The old women had said the same thing, but she hadn't charged him anything. "In order to find the treasure, you will have to follow the omens. God has prepared a path for everyone to follow. You just have to read the omens that he left for you." Before the boy could reply, a butterfly appeared and fluttered between him and the old man. He remembered something his grandfather had once told him, that the butterflies were a good omen. Like crickets and like grasshoppers, like lizards and four-leaf clovers. "That's right," said the old man, able to read the boy's thoughts. words. Just as your grandfather taught you, these are good omens. The old man opened his cape, and the boy was struck by what he saw. The omen were a breastplate of heavy gold covered with precious stones. The boy recalled the brilliance he had noticed on the previous day. He really was a king. He must be disguised to avoid encounters with thieves. Taxis, said the old man, holding out a white stone and a black stone that had been embedded at the center of the breastplate. They are called Urim and Thummim. The black signifies yes, and the white, no. When you are unable to read the omens, they will help you to do so. Always ask an objective question. But if you can, try to make your own decisions. The treasure is at the pyramids. That you already knew. But I had to insist on the pavement obsessive ship because I helped you to make your decision. The boy put the stones in his pouch. From then on, he would make his own decisions. Don't forget that everything you deal with is only one thing and nothing else. And don't forget the language of the omens. And above all, don't forget to follow your personal legend through to its conclusions. But before I go, I want to tell you a little story. A certain shopkeeper sent his son to learn about the secret of happiness from the wisest man in the world. The lad wondered through the desert for 40 days, and finally came upon a beautiful castle high atop mountain. It was there that the wise man lived. Rather than fighting a sentimental, our hero, on entering the main room of the castle, saw a hive of activity. Tradesmen came and went, people were conversing in the corners, a small orchestra was playing soft music, and there was a table covered with platters of the most delicious food in the part of the world. The wise man conversed with everyone, and the boy had to wait for 2 hours before it was his turn to be given the man's attention. The wise man listened attentively to the boy's explanations of why he had came, but told him that he did have time just then to explain the secret of happiness. He suggested that the boy look around the palace and return in 2 hours. Meanwhile, I want to ask you to do something, said the wise man, handing the boy a teaspoon that held 2 drops of oil. As you wander around, carry this spoon with you without allowing the oil to spill. The boy began climbing and descending the many stairways of the palace, keeping his eye fixed on the spoon. After 2 hours, he returned to the room where the wise man was. Well, asked the wise man, did you see the Persian tapestries that are hanging in my dining hall? Did you see the garden that it took the master gardener 10 years to create? Did you notice the beautiful parchments in my library? The boy was embarrassed and confessed that he had observed nothing. His only concern had been not to spill the oil that the wise man had entrusted to him. "Then go back and observe the marvels of my world," said the wise man. "You cannot trust a man if you don't know his house." Relieved, the boy picked up the spoon and returned to his exploration of the palace, this time observing all the works of art on the ceilings and the walls. He saw the gardens, the mountains all around him, the beauty of the flowers, and the taste with which everything had been selected. Upon returning to the wise man, he related in detail everything he had seen. "But where are the drops of oil I entrusted to you?" asked the wise man. Looking down at the spoon he held, the boy saw that the oil was gone. "Well, there is only one piece of advice I can give you," said the wisest of wise men. "The secret of happiness is to see all the marvels of the world and never to forget the drops of oil on your spoon." The shepherd said nothing. He had understood the story the old king had told him. A shepherd may like to travel, but he should never forget about his sheep. The old man looked at the boy and, with his hand held together, made several strange gestures over the boy's head. Then, taking his sheep, he walked away.